Let's do a quick exercise. Let's all the moms, please stand up. All the moms. So if you didn't have the chance, let's give a collective happy Mother's Day. Thank you. And you are the true heroes. And it was so amazing this morning as we were hearing so many stories. And we didn't have the chance to do it over the last 2 weeks. And it shows. And it shows how much love is important in our life. And that's what we are going to be going through in this morning. Love above all things. And as we are getting close to finish up the New Testament in the next 3 weeks after today, we will be just go over the book of Revelations, and John will be teaching us and sharing the word with him. And it's a lot of pressure, but you don't want to miss the next few weeks about Revelations. It's going to be a huge theme for debate and huge opportunities for us in our community groups to keep going deeper. It's such a deep, profound book. And so I'm looking forward to the next few weeks where we will be sharing the book of Revelations. Thank you so much for all those who have putting up with me early in the mornings with the text messages and the videos. It wasn't easy. It's never easy for a Latino to try to give a message in less than 1 minute. I cannot tell you how many takes I have for each one of those videos. I start just talking and telling jokes. I look at the clock and it was 5:20. And Dean was telling me, "No, Chris, we cannot use that. Go back to your office, back to the desk." So thank you so much. And it was great the first time that I did it, and all the great emails and conversations that came with it. So it's so great that as we are going to this relentless reading through the New Testament, we could learn so much. Van was telling last week, right, about 2 Peter and how that might be now one of his favorite books. The same for me, as I was reading and studying through the epistles of John, my favorite book is James, and I have a deep appreciation for the Gospel of Luke. That's why my son is called Lucas. And now I'm regretting I didn't call him John, right? Such a great, such a profound words. And I was reading them, and I was preparing for the message. I was just having a hard time. At one moment, I'm going to be honest, I said, I'm just going to stand up here, and I'm going to open one of the chapters, and we are going to read it, and we are going to call it. But no, let's get into the message. And of course, the topic is going to be about love. We talked so many interesting things about hope and real life, but what all of that would be without love. And in 2 John, in verse 5 and 6, John is writing to this lady, and there are different theological views on this. The lady might be a metaphor for the churches, the lady might be a whole church, or the lady might just be a lady. We are not going to get into that deep discussion. Those who follow the text know where I'm standing, but this is what it says in verse 5 and 6. "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as I thought I were reading you a new commandment, but the one we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." This is the commandment. "Just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." When we look for the word love in scriptures, in the Bible, it changes dramatically. Some versions, King James will tell us that it's about 300 times. If you, as you move into the more modern versions, the New International Version, the ESV, it gets close to 800. Love is such a broad concept in the way that it's used in the scriptures, that is hard to pinpoint exactly the amount, but definitely love is a very converse topic through the scripture, and also is life. We cannot expect to have a flourishing life without experiencing love. And it's interesting how in the second, in the third letter that John writes, love is the center point to different people, to different congregations. But love is the center. How hard then is for us to love? John wasn't writing any new commandment. He wasn't giving any new instructions. He was just reminding them, you just have to love one another. If we go back to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Thousands of years before John was dedicating this letter, this was already in the books. You have to love. You have to love God, and you have to love God with an intention. You have to follow him, and you have to put your heart, and you have to put your soul, and you have to put your might, your strength into it. How hard is for us as humans to really grasp this concept, to really love, to love one another. In many of these verses, the Greek word, when he says to love one another, is also the same that is themselves. So God is not telling you, you just don't have to love your neighbor, love one another, but you need to learn to love yourself. And in a society that is so centered in ourselves, in a Photoshop selfie-driven society, when we have to portray ourselves as the perfect human beings, how hard is for us to sometimes love us the way we are, the way that we are created. Few things to celebrate about love. And the first one is a reason for worship. It's a reason for joy. In this second letter, John was writing, and he said to the lady, right, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father, Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And let's just back up a few minutes ago. How many great stories of love. God loving us and taking care of us in accidents, being a witness or being part of it. The story that we just heard from a mother, experiencing the suffering of seeing your daughter going through very dark times and now celebrating life and worshiping God for it. And this is what we need to do more, to celebrate, to recognize. I think this illustration doesn't go any far beyond. If you were here a few minutes ago, that's it. This is what love is to worship God. Is to rejoice one another when we see somebody that it was lost and is found. When we see someone that was going through huge troubles and God answered a prayer. We need to learn to worship. We need to learn to celebrate love. Love also calls for obedience. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This word abide means to accept, to follow, to uphold God, to obey God. And this is not a obedience because we see God as the punisher. We don't see God as the one that is the judge. But because we see God as love. we sometimes tend to confuse those things, and we obey out of fear. And not anybody here, none of the moms here, but other moms somewhere, especially in the southern latitudes, they use something that we call la chancla. You know, the flip-flop. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. And it's so fun, right? And I never had to experience myself, but my friends did, and they still have some of the scars. But you know what? That when it comes out, right? And sometimes some moms just have to do this little trick, and order will prevail, right? And that's how sometimes they keep their house in order. On Easter, we were invited after church to spend it with some time with some family. The family, luckily, is in Tampa, so nobody here will feel, okay, accused. And they were a perfect group of strangers that we were invited to celebrate with. And it was so funny. At one moment, there were a bunch of kids running around. And one of these girls, she wanted, you know, to everybody to obey them, to obey her. So what she did? She took out her chancla, like her mom did, and she started clapping, you know. And all the kids start running like a wild herd of sheep, you know, and because they all knew the meaning. And we were laughing, and their mom and her mom was looking at her, and she was in shame. Just how great is God that in his love for us, he doesn't give us what we deserve. What would be if God will be this vengeful God? What would be if God will be this God that will just give us directions by causing us fear or pain? God is love. And this real love calls us to be obedience, to abide in him, to say, God, you love me. I love you. I will follow you. I will uphold your word. I will look for you. I will talk to you. Not out of fear, out of love. How many moms here, and I cannot go back, but just remember the story that we just heard about Elizabeth. How many times we might feel this feelings, but God is bigger. But the love of God talk to us. And whenever we want to shut the door out, whenever we want to kick everybody out, whenever you want to take out the chancla, whatever it is, God talks to you and said, love one another. Give another chance. Love is about worship and about joy. Love is about obedience. Love is about also to be of servant. And you can see love. You can feel the love. And sadly, again, in this day and generation, we don't see that much of it. Even as a family. When many of you go today, maybe after service for lunch or going to celebrate to a restaurant, I invite you, look around the tables. It's crazy. I don't have it with me, but how many people will just sit on the table of four or six and everybody will pull up the screens and they get stick to it. And they are laughing and they are interacting with a screen and not with the people that is around them. Right? For fear of missing out what's next, what's going on, we are just missing out what is in front of us. Observe. Look at the people that is around you. As we love one another, as just what John was telling to this lady, to this church, to you, to me, he's telling us, it's about taking care of the spiritual aspect of one another. The physical aspects, the needs that we might have. But this is not about a race. This is not about being competitive with one another. This is not just to take some, hey, I'm a better Christian than you are. God doesn't want us to be like this. It's not to be observant of others just to compare yourself. We need to compare ourselves with God, and then we are going to realize we are always falling short. And that's what is the challenge for us, to pursue this perfection, to pursue this maturity in Christ. Not for us to compare ourselves with others, but just to give ourselves to everybody. I had a friend back when I was in D.C., a co-worker. You spend 95 hours a week working on a desk. You eventually, either you kill each other or you become friends. Luckily, I'm here, so we became friends. And Michael is so great. He's from Austria. So making him laugh was really hard at the beginning. But he's very particular on friendship and expressions, right? So from time to time, I would say, okay, let's go together. Let's go for lunch. And I just, for the messing up with him, we will go to eat something, and I will pull up my credit card, and I will pay first for his lunch. He will lose it. Because he says, no, don't do that. Because now I had to repay you. I had to go back and pay you lunch. And he was so nervous. And the next day, and I did this, of course, on purpose, you know me. He came to me and says, let's do lunch. No, Michael, I brought a sandwich today. And I kept him like that for weeks. And he was sending me emails. He's from Austria, come on. He was sending me emails requesting for a lunch schedule with me. On that Tuesday, you don't bring a sandwich. You are going with lunch, and I'm going to pay for your lunch. And he kept this feeling of, I have to repay you. I have to do this for you. Michael eventually got involved, and he got a girlfriend. And for his birthday, again, he shows up. So stressed. And he was walking on his desk like this, going back and forth. And then he opens his bag, and he comes to my table, and he puts there a box of a new iPad or something like that. An iPhone. Says, look at this. And I look at it and says, yes, what's the deal? That's great. Congrats. Happy birthday. He says, no, I cannot accept this. What do you mean you cannot accept it? Your girlfriend gave you a great present. It's a great token of love and appreciation. He says, no, because I have to repay it. Her birthday is coming up in a few months. I don't have the money to spend on an iPhone for her. She has all the iPhones. She has crazy money. I don't have to do it. I don't know how to do it. The love, we have to observe, we have to appreciate, we have to worship, we have to obey it. But the love that comes from God, is no way that we can repay that love. His love is infinite. He sacrificed what he did for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's the maximum expression of love. And the Bible, John is reminding that church, John is telling you and me in this morning, you have to love God. You have to love one another. And this is the example that I'm setting up. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Let that sink in. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The love, this beautiful emotion we can feel, is a testimony of the existence of God. When he says, well, I cannot see God. We do not see. The moment you feel love, that is God. Without God, there wouldn't be love. As simple as that. The love that you are feeling for your mom this morning, for your spouse. Of course, you would say, yes, honey, that was you. The first time that we heard this morning, you came to mind. Well, you are lucky. You will survive another day. But this entire universe, the creation, everything we see is just an expression of the love of God. Again, if you are thinking that God sometimes is unfair, so if God is love, why so many wars? Why famine? Why so much hate? Why so much destruction? That is a reflection of you and me. That is a reflection of nature. That is the consequence of sin in this world. God is love. He's not unfair. He is not here to condemn the world. He came here to save it. And God gave us his maximum expression, his maximum gift to us through Jesus. In 1 John 4, verse 9, ends saying, "And this is the love of God. And he was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him." Now, moms, you are so amazing. I'm not going to get into a dispute to say who is the best mom. Everybody is great. There are so many studies saying if we will have to pay moms a salary for everything that we will do, we will go broke in a week. Because everything that they do, and the way that they, you woke up early and you get the kids, and if you are homeschooling, praise you. I don't know how you find the time and the patience and, you know, and the patience and the love for those creatures. Only a mom can love that way, and she can forgive, and she can be patient. And now, moms, dads, everybody, think about this. You love somebody so much that human that you are raising, that you call son or daughter, that you put so much love into this little creature. And now you are willing to send this, your son, your daughter, to die for somebody else. More than once, and whenever there are these accidents, there are these stories, right, that the moms or the dads were just hugging their kids, protecting them, right, and using yourself as a human shield, literally. But God loves you and the world so much that he said, "This is my son. He will pay for your debts. He will pay for your sins." In this day that we are choosing to celebrate what moms are doing for all of us, let's also remember that God from love is a love with no equal. Love is about communion. 1 John 1:3. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too many have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And this same word, the root of the word fellowship that we see here, is the same one that we found last week when we were reading on Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 1 says, "By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." This partaker word and the fellowship word is the same root that is in the Greek word koinonia, is fellowship. Love is meant to be shared. in community. And this is only possible. This community, this great fellowship with others, this great fellowship with God is possible when we come clean before Him. And I get it. Love is hard. At one point in your story, you probably got pretty hurt because love. Because love demands for us to open ourselves. Love means you just open your heart to somebody. And that sometimes exposes you to get really, really hurt. And love sometimes is not responded on the same way. But again, let's look at the example of God. God loves us in such a great way. And sometimes we don't repay Him on the same way. When we think about John, and he's reading these letters probably 60 years after Jesus was crucified and He went to heaven to prepare a home for all of us. And he's not this young man that was walking with Jesus some years back. But he reflects and he tells to all the churches and everybody who's reading this importance of loving. And he knew about this. The Bible says that he was the beloved one. He was loved by Jesus. And when he wrote in the gospel, he makes sure that everybody knows about this. And he's reading this the gospel. And when he says that they run with Peter, says and this other guy ran with Peter and he beat him to the tomb. Of course, it was him, right? And he ran to see if Jesus wasn't there anymore. And crazy as it sounds, right? There is John sprinting to see that the tomb was empty, and he just stops shy to entering. But Peter, that was galloping a few steps behind, he didn't stop. He just went straight to it. Peter, the guy that a few days before he denied Jesus, the one that he didn't show love. The Bible relates us that John was there at the time of the crucifixion. It doesn't mention about Peter. He was there. But Peter, God had done something that he couldn't forgive himself. But when he heard the news, he just sprinted. He ran. He saw it. And a few days later, he was sitting on the shores with Jesus. And Jesus was asking over and over and over, Peter, do you love me? This is the great thing about love, about communion, that we can run back to Jesus, that we can come back to Him, and He will open His arms. He will give us a new chance. I know that we are starting with Revelations, but if you miss any of these chapters of John, I really encourage you to revise it, to mark down, because love is above all things. In 1 Corinthians, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The verses before is telling us all about the great gifts that God has given us. Special abilities to worship Him, to serve Him, to do ministry for the kingdom of God. And it says, without love, all these things don't bring any results. We need to love. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, okay, this is it for me. This is life. And go back into the daily routine, into the daily motions. I want to challenge you to be relentless. as we have been in the last few months. Don't settle for, okay, God, this is how much I can love you. This is how much I can give you. But really open your heart to love God, to love one another. The person that might be sitting next to you, that you see Sunday after Sunday, and you never take the courage to say, just, I challenge you to approach them. Say hi to them as you are walking out this morning. Thank you. You have a relentless, unconditional, and infinite love coming from God to you. I want you to be relentless. I want us to be relentless in the same way that we share this love with others. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given us in rejoice and celebrate the mothers that we have here with us and those who have maybe don't have them anymore. We pray, God, that their examples, that their teachings will be with us. But most than everything, we pray that we will experience your love, that we will be able to love one another, to remember this, to put it into practice. And the same way that your love was unconditional to us, that we can give ourselves to others, that we can worship and be full of joy, that we could obey, that we will be of servant and living in a community of love, to worship you, to serve you, to expand your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.